Welcome and good afternoon, everyone, to the Metro Access Subcommittee meeting today on Monday, November 18th, 2024. As you just heard, this meeting is being recorded, and the meeting audio will be placed on our website, which is wmata.com. I would like to share a few helpful tips for people who are joining through phone calls. You can press star six to mute or unmute yourself. If you would like to make comments, you can virtually raise or lower hands by pressing star nine. Everybody who's on the video conference, you can click on the speaker icon to mute or unmute yourself, and you can click on the raise hand icon to raise or lower your virtual hands. If you're able to use these tools, it will be helpful because then we know that somebody is trying to make comments and we can have one speaker at a time. I do request everyone to please keep yourself on mute unless you're speaking, because it helps us eliminate any external noise. We also request that when anyone speaks, please describe yourselves briefly. For instance, I'm a female, I'm Asian Indian, I'm wearing reading glasses, and I have a black and yellow top on. Chair Semaphore, what I can do is I can go ahead and read the agenda out loud, and then I can go ahead and take the roll call of the committee members.
Drive one. Sure, go right ahead.
Okay, so before I start reading the agenda, I would share my screen, and if somebody can confirm when it's visible, I would appreciate that. Okay, I'm hoping my screen is visible now.
Oh, we
Yes, I can
can.
see the agenda.
Great,
Yeah,
thank
and then.
you. So just like I said, we will go through the roll call of the committee members after I finish reading this agenda. Then chair will go through the review and approval of today's meeting agenda and last month's meeting minutes with the committee's approval. At 4:10, we will take reports, which include commendations report, customer service report, and any outreach. At 4:15, Mr. Blake will give us information about Metro Access service issues relating to late pickups. At 4:35, Mr. Blake will give us an update about Metro Access Abilities Right Provider. At 4:55, Mr. Blake and Terrian Williams Hall will revisit Tim, the digital assistant. At 5:25, we will take public comments, and the meeting is scheduled to adjourn at 6 p.m. I'm going to stop sharing my screen now. Going to the committee's roll call. When I call out your name, please confirm your presence. Susan Bowmaster.
Here.
Thank you.
Yes, I.
Darnese Bush. Tino Calabia. Vanessa Cruz.
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
Okay, thank you. Rico Dancy has informed that he is going to be out for a few meetings due to health. Tawan Farmer.
Present.
Thank you. Debbie Fisher.
Here.
Thank you. Marcy Goldstein.
Yeah.
Thank you. Steve Caffin.
Present.
Thank you. Thomas Mangrum has also informed that he is going to be not attend. He will not be able to attend the next two to three meetings. Philippa Mazzell. Sandy Newsell.
Present.
Thank you. Phil Posner.
Present.
Thank you. Sarah Rod.
Present.
Thank you. Doris Ray. Denise Rush.
Present.
Thank you. Paul Semaphore.
Present.
Thank you. Patrick Sheehan.
Here.
Thank you. Kelly Simonon. And Philip Weintraub. Okay. That concludes the roster for today's MetroAxis subcommittee meeting. I just want to remind any members of the public. During the public comment section, each member would have 2 minutes. We practice this to ensure that any member of the public and or AAC members who are looking to make public comments gets an opportunity to do so. If you are able to send me a chat message, please do let me know so that we can put your name on the list. Otherwise, please raise your hands virtually when we begin the public comment section so that we can take speakers in the order received. Chair Semelford, at this point, I would ask for you to move the meeting forward. You have the floor.
Thank you. Welcome, everybody. So first, we're going to go with the agenda. As you can see, it's been slightly amended over the weekend to do a little bit more emphasis in terms of when we talk about MetroAxis issues, the late pickups, which is on everyone's mind, and a few other details we'll get to also. With that being said, are there any other additions to this already fully packed agenda? Hearing none, I will make a motion. Can I get a motion to move the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Take next right.
All those, all those in favor, please do so by saying aye.
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 Nays. Abstentions. All right, the motion carries to move the agenda as amended. Next will be the minutes from last month's subcommittee meeting. Are there any additions, changes, corrections to the minutes?
This is Sandy. I have a change.
Sure.
On page 3, there was a sentence that said, new dedicated providers are required to have all the vehicles wheelchair accessible. And I think it was meant to say, excuse me, non-dedicated providers, not more dedicated, non-dedicated providers are all required to have wheelchair accessible vehicles. I don't think all of the vehicles, but I think all providers are supposed to have wheelchair accessible. Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay. Unless Mr. Blake objects, we are going to go ahead with that change. I'm sure New will follow up.
I can send that to you if you want a New.
Great, thank you.
Okay, thank you. So, can I get a motion to accept these minutes as amended by Sandy?
So moved.
All those in favor of the amended minutes from last month, please do so by saying aye.
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 Nays, abstentions. The motion carries to approve the minutes from last month with the amendments and in consultation with management staff to make sure those statements are accurate. They're being amended. Thank you. Next, we're going to go to reports, customer service reports and outreach. Miss Allison Anderson and her company can unmute themselves and present.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Allison Anderson with MetroAxis. I'm a middle-aged Black female wearing a brown sweater with two-strand twists as a hairstyle. At this time, I'd like to present Mr. Dolan Chittums with MTM to give our public comments resolution from our last session. Dolan?
Good afternoon. My name is Dolan Chittums. Black male, long locks, wearing a blue shirt. So during the AAC meeting held on October 7th, 2024, there were no outstanding public comments to be addressed. During the MetroAxis subcommittee meeting on October 21st, 2024, there was one outstanding public comment to be addressed. The comment pertained to an issue the member was facing while using the online web booking portal. The member stated that some Washington, D.C. addresses were not recognized. After investigating the matter, we found that all relevant addresses were indeed populated in the web booking portal. The customer was contacted and assured that the addresses are functioning correctly in the system. Now moving to the commendations. In October 2024, there were 508 commendations. Among the recipients, Central Avenue received 121, Transdev OCC received 181, Industrial Road received 44, Hubbard Road received 130, MTM received 2, Eligibility received 0, and Abilities Ride received a total of 30. This concludes my report. Thank you.
Okay, this is Anu. I am going to mute everyone, and I would please request again to please stay on mute unless speaking to avoid any external noise. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chittums. At this time, I am going to ask if Mr. Blake has any information regarding any outreach since our last session. Mr. Blake?
No outreach updates at this time.
All right. Thank you for that. So I turn it back over to you, Mr. Semelfort. That concludes our public comment and outreach report. Thank you.
All right. This is wonderful. So next topic we're going to talk about is a big thing that is a lot, Mr. Blake, on, I guess, calls. Trying to get some updates on the call center, number one. But number two, the biggest issues on customers' minds these days is late pickups. And some of the, and as we've heard from a lot of customers at the last couple of meetings and AAC meetings, and what is the call center doing to focus on that? And then we'll piggyback on some of our, you know, concerns about the call center itself and some of the, you know, improvements and things like that. So, Mr. Blake, go ahead.
We can't hear you, Mr. Blake. You're on mute.
Yep, unmute yourself, Mr. Blake. You're on.
How about now? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Oh, sorry about that. Christian Blake, Vice President of Access Services. So, yes, Mr. Chairman, we've been talking about this for a couple of months. So let me just take a step back and tell you where we are, how did we get here, and what we're going to do about it very quickly. You all know I always have a plan, and sometimes obstacles get in the way. I'll just put it that way. And there's some old wisdom perhaps in that old saying, if it's not broke, you shouldn't try to fix it. Well, there's some wisdom in that, but also you always have to try to continue to improve. We had a solicitation for service delivery. As you all know, we kept you abreast as to everything that was going on, all the way down to the final selection process. And the Metro Access Service Area is an enormous one. It's a tremendous challenge. 1,800 square miles, highly traffic congested, and we have a growing ridership. We made the solicitation one in which we allowed ourselves, if we found the right proposal, to award to one vendor. And we still believe that one vendor can, in some point in time in the future, handle the entirety of our service area. But it's a true challenge, and it's a challenge that we've decided at this time that the vendor that was selected cannot handle the enormity of this task alone. So like we had prior to July 1st, where we had three vendors in five locations, one of the things we've also, you know, accepted under this situation that we've been faced the last few months is that we really do need geographic balance in terms of the starting locations of our services, of our vehicles when they're leaving the base. So prior to July 1st, you know, we had three vendors, five locations, one in Virginia, one in Montgomery County, and three in Prince George's County. Currently, we have one vendor with three locations, one in Virginia and two in Prince George's County. And we We just believe that has contributed to what you're experiencing now as customers, your frustration, our disappointment as an agency. So no later than December 1st, we will be adding another contractor to the service. No later than December 1st, and that contractor will be operating out of, okay. That contractor will be operating out of Montgomery County. So that's going to start on December 1st, and we think that's going to help bring some relief immediately to what you and other customers have reported to us and what our numbers are showing us. So even without the reports, we're seeing the numbers, and the numbers are disappointing. And in the meantime, while that is taking place, we are also working diligently to open up a fifth base. This one we intend to have in Washington, D.C., or very near the Washington, D.C. line, certainly within the Beltway. So those trips will primarily serve the D.C. Pickups so that those bases in Prince George's County can focus primarily on Prince George's County. The base in Virginia can focus primarily on Virginia, and the base in Montgomery County can primarily focus on Montgomery County. So December 1st, we're going to have a base and a additional contractor working out of Montgomery County. And in the subsequent months, we don't know exactly the date and time yet, and we don't know if we'll be bringing in a third provider or utilizing one of the two that will be working by December 1st. But either way, we will have a fifth base operating. And then once all that is in place, we will be back to, if you want to say, the norm. And I just want to just put a little context. This was certainly not my plan. And there were some things that took place, and we'll deal with those separate because they weren't related to the customers, but they certainly impacted our customers. But if you may not remember, but in July of 2019, that was the last time we changed contractors or had a change in the service. And in that time, we went from July to October. Each of those months were under 90%. But I asked you all in one of these meetings, please be patient. Trust me, we're going to make this right. We have a plan. And after that October 2019 month, you never saw less than 90% until this past May. So we're talking about from 19 to 2024. It was not my plan that you would have to see a month or two under 90%. We did get a little bit above 90 in August, and I thought that might have been a turnaround, but it really wasn't. We've learned a few more things these last past 3 months, but we're absolutely now going back to, if you want to say, the way things used to be, multiple vendors, multiple locations. And we believe that the geographic balance, multiple management teams operating kind of separately and independent from each other, is going to bring us back to, if you want to say, the good times that we had. And it's disappointing that we had got to this point. Again, it wasn't our plan. I know my disappointment doesn't nowhere near measure the frustration of the customers because I get the calls each day and I'm speaking to as many customers. I'm calling them, they're calling me, we're moving trips, we're doing everything we can to mitigate the frustration of customers, but we're going all the way back. Again, multiple locations, geographic balance, and multiple vendors. And pretty soon we're going to get back to the way things used to be, the way they were. And we could get back to debating bylaws and things like that and not having discussions about your frustrations with late pickups. So with that, I'm open for any questions, concerns, other thoughts that you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, and the public may have.
Now, thank you for sharing this information and being forthright with us, and open and transparent, as you have been over the past several months in this period of transition with both street service and the call center. So, knowing that, I know y'all doing everything in your power whenever it's feasible to leverage abilities wide to help alleviate a lot of these late pickups. Anything else that can be done with abilities ride that you can speak of to help with this until the base gets open that can possibly help that's feasible and doable with your staff in order to minimize late pickups?
Drive 0.7
That's a great
miles.
question. And you're raising a great point. With abilities ride, as you know, over the years, we've been very slow in pulling it in as part of the overall system. But today, and actually the last, I think it's going to be 3 months in a row, there have actually been more trips on abilities ride than on Metro Access precisely because of this point. Again, that wasn't my plan either. And to be honest with you, Mr. Chairman, we have really stretched the abilities ride capacity to where, I mean, as they, one company did call me today and say, hey, we've just added 30 wheelchair accessible vehicles. I said, great, when do you want to start operating them? They're going to start with about eight of them tomorrow. We've already put them into the lottery, and that helps. But we're really, when it comes to abilities ride, it's all about how much capacity these companies have. And keep in mind, abilities ride is supposed to make you feel good. You should want to be on that, not be forced on it because we're not performing on dedicated service. Because if we put too many on abilities ride, next thing you know, it starts to look and feel like Metro Access, and the frustrations are on both sides. And that was never the design when I brought the concept forward to you all. I wanted, as we always had for all those many years, I wanted customers saying, I want this. I want Uber. I want Yellow Cab. I want Regency. That's the feeling that gives me a good feeling. The trips are free. You enjoy it. If we just take everybody off of Metro Access to try to get those numbers up and put them all on abilities ride, then all the complaints would be on abilities ride, not on Metro Access. So it really is a balance. Abilities ride is supposed to be a lottery. It's a balance, but it's not supposed to be
Take
the
next right.
primary means of your transportation on the service. Metro Access.
And we understand that there are limitations to abilities ride, being they are a curb to curb service and customers still do need it. But for customers who do, like you say, consent and agree to use it, we should allow them to, if it's possible, depends on operation needs and costs and everything, the maximum extent to do it when it's operationally feasible, of course.
Yes, sir. Well, I want
Just
to be
to,
clear. I want you to know we're putting as many trips, we're letting everybody, if we can win the lottery down at this corner store as much as we're giving away the lottery on abilities ride, we'll all have money for our own cars, if you will. My point is we are maximizing abilities ride to the extent possible, but I don't want to overload it so much that you all become frustrated with that. We have to keep that kind of separate. Our real focus, but to your point though, we're using it. And again, we're doing more trips on abilities ride these last 3 months than we're actually doing on Metro Access, which is a good thing. I really like that, and I kind of expressed that to you all before. When I first got in this role, I jokingly teased that, hey, those companies can have all the trips. Yeah, and we're almost getting to that point, it seems like. But Metro Access is the safety net, and it needs to have the quality of a safety net. It needs to be reliable, it needs to be dependable, and we're just doing everything we can as quickly as we can to unwind this little experiment for now. We still believe that one company can manage effectively, and we think there are benefits to that. But for now, we need to unwind the experiment a bit. Let's go back to what gave us all a lot of love, hope, and fun when it came to utilizing public transportation service. And that has to start with quality service, and that's what we're trying to get back to. Oops. Did I lose everybody?
No, thank you, Mr. Blake. This is Anu. I see two hands up. First is Sarah Robb and then Vanessa Coles. Sarah, if you
Your
would
question
unmute.
about operations.
Okay, you're back.
Oh, sorry. I just said, any committee members want to speak to this specific topic?
Yes, Chair Samaford, this is Anu. We have two hands up. One is Sarah Rod and then Vanessa Coles. So Sarah has unmuted herself. Sarah, please go ahead and make your comments.
Yeah, so I actually raised my hand for the earlier presentation. I just wanted to get clarification on something, but I'll let that go for now so it doesn't get too confusing. So thank you, Christian. I am obviously new to the committee. We've exchanged a few texts over time as I've had my own sort of issues here and there with Metro Access. I am curious, again, I don't know, I don't have the background of a lot of people. So why is it that abilities ride that we don't use it more, or how do we balance? Like, I don't understand why is it free? I'm not objecting. Love a free ride, but like, why is it that we don't actually use it more? Is it less expensive?
Oh, I
Is it
can
more
help answer
expensive?
that. Oh, so let me explain. So with abilities ride, like with Uber and taxis, while we encourage, it is a curb to curb service, and most of the customers of our service, when you use the Metro Access.
Okay.
So, Sarah, can I, if Mr. Chairman doesn't mind me responding for him, can Sarah hear me? Can everybody else hear me?
Yes,
Yep.
we can hear you.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So yeah, so building on what he's saying, on one side, yeah, there are customers who simply cannot use the abilities ride services because they need door-to-door
But
service.
Mr. Blake.
But that's where the non-dedicated that Ms. Nuzu brought up in terms of the meeting notes. But the other point, let's take all the customers, because every day we get a list of all the trips, and I go through every trip just to see what people are saying and thinking. There are still hundreds of customers who were not selected for the lottery for a taxi or Uber who want it. The reason why I just cannot put all of them on, I would love to do so. Don't get me wrong on that at all. We would love to do so. But the taxis have a limited amount of capacity. So if one company, let's say, tells me they have capacity to provide 30 trips an hour, but we have demand for 50 trips an hour, if I gave all 50 to that company that only has 30, they're going to try, because they're not going to say they can't do it. They're going to try to do it. But what's going to happen is they're going to try to do it and not do it well. They will do it, but not do it well, and then that just diminishes the value of the concept of the program. As these companies, as I mentioned, one company called me today and said they're adding 30 new wheelchair accessible vehicles to their fleet, and starting tomorrow they're going to get 8 more trips per hour because they have 8 new vehicles that they're ready to go tomorrow. So it really is a matter of capacity. How much can these other companies actually do and do well? And as they get more and more vehicles, as they get more and more drivers, and the drivers are trained and they understand how to serve people with disabilities in a compassionate and safe way, Metro has no reason not to allow these other companies to provide this nicety to our Metro Access customers. But right now, there's just not enough resources on these other companies that we could just give it to everybody who really wants it.
Okay, that's very helpful. Thank you. I guess I had seen a presentation to by somebody who's a fairly senior executive, I think for User, one of those companies that's out there, to the National Federation of the Blind, maybe a year or two ago. And one of his sales pitches was that it was far less expensive, I guess, than going through the more traditional vendors or things. Is that true? I'm just curious, like from a business point of view, is it in Metro's, is it in WMATA's interest to put more people into abilities rides? Is it, or are we better off having vendors?
If we're only talking costs, yes, generally speaking, those costs are lower on a per trip basis because in our world, they're being paid as trip providers. Our Metro Access contractors, who were the contractor, and then in the past, the multiple contractors, and in the future, the multiple contractors, they're being paid to provide you with protection of your civil rights. So, tomorrow, As you know, we're talking right now. Hey, why not put everybody on there? There's probably going to be about 300 or 400 people who say they want Uber, but they weren't selected by the lottery for Uber tomorrow. We could put them all on Uber, but guess what? If Uber drivers decide tomorrow is a holiday, a strike day, a protest day, they want more money day, they could just say, no, we're not providing any of those trips. Metro Access cannot do that. So we just cannot just go with lower cost and give everything to somebody who on any given day can tell us, sorry, we're just not operating today. Metro Access, we're paying the contractors not only to provide a trip for you when you need it, they're there just in case they need to be utilized. So if we put a lot of people on other services, but for whatever reason, those services don't operate that given day, that doesn't stop the dialysis treatment. That doesn't stop the cancer treatment. That doesn't stop work. And Metro Access and those contractors who've done a great job, don't get me wrong in terms of the decisions we've had to make on this immediate basis, but we're paying those contractors to be safe, but we need to also and to provide trips, but we're also paying them to be there and be ready when called upon. Whether it's the day before or the day of, when we need them, they need to be ready to go, and that's what we're really paying them for.
All right, Anu, who else do we have next to say?
Okay, so we have a few members. Next is
Caller.
Vanessa.
Audio now unmuted.
I'm thinking Marcy also wanted to make comments. I'm not sure if it's for this topic or for public comments. And then Darnies. So Vanessa, go ahead.
So, as you speak,
Yes,
committee members,
hi.
please speak to the topic only. Thank you.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
This is Vanessa.
Hello.
Middle-aged African
Vanessa, your voice is breaking up.
woman.
Alert.
My question to Ms.
Alert.
Lake is, with this December,
Alert.
I was in it, my alerts. Ms. Lake, can you hear me?
So
Not
Vanessa,
really. Anu, can you hear
yeah.
me?
Now we can, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I
Sorry.
can hear you now.
Alert. Timer has ended. Alert.
So my concern is in December when we start the new processes, those dispatchers that are helping us, are they going to have full power to do that, or will they be transferring it to the Uber dispatchers? Because right now, I'm not able to open any of my links. I'm always. And is that going to be across the board for all the different regions that you have?
Break. I couldn't understand it, but I think
Dispatchers
I
that
know.
help us, will they have the authority to authorize?
Alert. A
The answer
tourist
is
has
yes.
joined
If I'm,
the
it was hard, but I think I know what you were asking. So let me just go ahead and try to answer it, and you could correct me if I'm not answering correctly. But I think what Ms. Coles is saying, she gets a lot of Uber trips, but her trips, she's having challenges with some links that are being received. And then when she calls in, one dispatcher may say, I have to transfer you to a supervisor or to an Uber agent to rebook your trip, which could be somewhat frustrating. I think what we're trying to do, as I mentioned in our last meeting, we're starting with, so first to answer your question, we're going to empower more dispatchers with Uber Central Access. That's where you can rebook trips and look at trips. So that answer is yes. But what we're trying to do also is automate more of the Uber processing aspects. We're starting with those who receive text messages and respond in the affirmative that they would like an Uber. We're trying to relieve human agents from having to book those trips. And if you take them away from those trips, that leaves more human agents to address the periodic instances where a customer's Uber links are either not fully complete with the address or some other issue may have arisen. So what we're trying to do is, through automation, relieve some of the work that the dispatch agents have to currently do with respect to Uber, leaving them with more time to address customers directly through the phone for any issues, Uber as well as other issues they may come up with.
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
I hope I answered the question.
Okay. The second part is Mr. Blake. Where is
You
the
want to, your voice is
breakdown where
breaking.
these are one thing?
Yes.
When I say your voice is breaking up, it's very difficult to hear you.
Can you hear me?
Your voice keeps going in and out.
I'm sorry, I have
Okay.
no
And Vanessa,
control over
your time
no
is up.
control
Can
over that.
we come back
Sorry,
to you so we can
sorry.
get to other people? Because we got a lot of hands up from many
Sure,
members.
sure.
Thank
All
you.
right, thank you.
So next is Marcy Goldstein. Marcy, go ahead.
Hi, my name's Marcy Goldstein, and I'm a white woman with grayish hair. Wearing a navy blue t-shirt. I just want to state that when you bring on new drivers and such, it's very important, I think, that when they have a pickup in the evening, they come and they have to wait past our waiting time. Like, I know there's a half-hour window, but they should be there because in many cases, the place that you're leaving is closed down, and when it's dark outside, it could be a little bit unnerving not knowing a situation you could get into. So I would stress that in the winter months that people that need to be picked up from a location that closes when you're leaving, that they should be picked up within the window so they don't get unnerved. Thank you.
Thank you for the
Thank you.
feedback.
And of course, we totally agree. And all of our efforts is to get our on-time performance back up to where you all have been used to seeing it. And once we can do that, a lot of the other issues that come along with late pickups, they go away, as the issue with Marcy was speaking about. If you're late, you're leaving out of a building of work or shopping, and the building is closed, and you feel like you're by yourself and it's cold and it's unnerving, well, we shouldn't be late. And that's why we're adding another vendor beginning in December. We're adding another facility, and we're working to add yet a fifth facility and possibly a third vendor in the subsequent months after that, so we can again get back to the way things used to be. And some of those moments become few, far between, if at all. That's our goal, absolutely.
All right, a new
Thank
next committee
you.
person.
Yes, next is Darnese, followed by Philippa. So Darnese, go ahead.
Okay, I'm a elderly Black woman with a beanie on my head today. So, in response to Abilities Ride, I prefer not to use Abilities Ride, and the only time I really use them is if the regular Metro Access vehicle is late. And And so the problem is because they can't provide you the assistance you need to get to the van. They don't do door to door. You can't, they may not be sensitive to your disability if you have a difficult time getting in the vehicle. You can't determine the size. Most of the time, they're not wheelchair accessible, walker accessible, or you have any type of mobility problem or difficulty. You basically can't use them, and it would be better for you to use a taxi or another abilities ride vehicle that has experience with dealing with people with disabilities.
And
And
I
I
understand.
the shared ride, and too, the other problem is that because everything has been really, really late, and I know that it's a shared ride, but shared rides shouldn't go miles for miles to pick up two and three people. And people shouldn't be on the bus as long because if you have a disability, you're already in pain or stiff or something like that when you get on the vehicle. And if you have to ride for a couple of hours, there's a problem.
So, a
Thank
couple of things,
you.
and I agree with Ms. Darnese. One, I always say, Ms. Darnese, you were one of our pioneers when it came to abilities, right? So, we'll always appreciate all the feedback you gave us and making it work. And yeah, there are customers who prefer, and it's your right to prefer to utilize Metro Access as opposed to being in the lottery for any of the third-party providers. Now, we have made the non-dedicated, as again, as Marcy pointed out in the meeting minutes, we have made all third-party providers for the non-dedicated utilize wheelchair-accessible vehicles. But as we all know, all wheelchair-accessible vehicles are not equal. I mean, there are different wheelchair-accessible vehicle types. So, yes, the service needs to be for you, and we want it to be for you, and that's why what is good for Ms. Bush, or what is not good for Ms. Bush may be good for someone else, and vice versa. And that's kind of how we make it all work. We're certainly not trying to force anyone into anything that's not comfortable for them or doesn't work for them. Now, when it comes to the shared rides, yes, Ms. Bush, you get a late trip, and then you got to ride somewhere with another customer. I get that. Part of our challenge, I'm gonna just say this, is not an excuse. I just looked at the number again because the number comes out every Sunday night. We still have only this past month, the month of October, only 41% of our trips are shared rides. Now, what I've heard over the years, it's a balance. I know you want to be on time, and we've got to keep that up. But I also know, especially in this region, more than any others I've worked in, you are, I don't know if because they're Dallas Cowboy fans and y'all Washington fans or whatever, y'all don't like sharing rides with each other. And I get that. So we're still trying to keep that going, but that number needs to inch up a little bit. It really does in order to help us with the on-time performance. But we're really trying, instead of going in that direction, we're trying to go back to the old ways that we had before where we could keep the shared rides down, but still keep your on-time performance up. And I'll just tell you, believe me, I know I'm not riding it, but from the operation side, once we're late and you're having to pick somebody else up, and then it's not the machine putting it in, sometimes it's a human agent just trying to make sure a customer has, and you're going, you look like you're in a figure eight. I get it. And again, as we get our on-time performance back up by going to the geographic balance and the multiple vendors. Hopefully, all of that stuff will come back down and we can get back to the way things used to be.
Thank
Thank
you.
you.
All right.
And next is Philippa. Philippa, go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. I apologize. I was a little late getting in because as I was trying to come in, someone called and I come in on my cell phone and it knocked me out and I had to clear the call before I could get back. So I just wanted to know if Mr. Blake could restate what is the new policy? I'm not quite picking it up from the context of the questions.
Now, which policy are we speaking of, though?
I think you said a new policy regarding Uber. I think that's what I heard. regarding Uber or
Oh no, I think I was responding to Ms. Coles, because Ms. Coles and other customers, there are times if you have to probably use it a lot to experience it. I don't know if you use it enough, but you may have experienced where you receive an Uber link and it just says Washington, D.C. instead of your full address. Well, at times, if that happens to you or to Ms. Coles or someone else, you call in the Metro Access to ask them to rebook the trip.
I have had that happen. So there's no new policy regarding Abilities Ride, or I heard you say there will be another vendor or something, but I was just trying to make sure there was no difference. Okay.
Well, no policies. We love the idea of decentralization. We think the customers have really enjoyed it over the years. And I always gotta remind you guys, I've been saying it from, this has been over 5 years. It's not always going to be free. One day we will charge you for it, but right now is not the time. We're still learning and still putting in more supply. At some point, there will be a cost to it, but that hasn't changed yet. Eligibility for it has not changed yet. You just got to say you want the opportunity to win the lottery. And again, back to, I think, Sarah's question. There is absolutely no reason for Metro not to allow a customer to be selected by the lottery, other than knowing how many trips the providers can handle and how it will impact your perception of the program itself and your perception of Metro if you have too many negative experiences because Metro tries to put too many trips over on that program as opposed to improving the Metro Access service itself.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. So I'm following up on the topic of the call center. Can you give us a little update on the operations side? Now, I will say, and Vanessa probably would agree, that we're getting a little bit better with reservations, because I've made some, random calls to make trips. Even though I'm an online booker, I said I do need to be in the loop and know how things feel and the experience, and they've gotten a lot better. I will say, in terms of response time, in terms of collecting information, in terms of getting the reservation right, and overall professionalism. So that has drastically improved. Now we want to look at the call center. I know, Ms. Rush, you had a concern that you wanted to share that happened some time ago with the call center. Are you still on the call, Ms. Rush?
Well, before we go to her, can I just jump in and just respond to your point, and then we can handle her call completely? We'll come right to you, Ms. Rush. We'll come right now. Hold on, sir, please. Yes, the call center contractor has been aggressively hiring new staff, but more than just hiring is the training. And I know Terry and Williams Hall, who has an extensive career in managing call centers, has gone all in terms of helping them train these new employees. It's just bringing in new bodies, but not getting them to the quality and the compassion that you all would expect as customers, whether it's for paratransit or anything else, doesn't really help the service improve. So I do appreciate you acknowledging it. I'm watching the numbers and I've seen the numbers improve. So that is a baby first step. They haven't gotten better. There are more people being hired. There are more agents being made available in many capacities. The next step, I will say, we need to improve that Where's My Ride responsiveness. Part of that is the automation aspects that we've been talking about earlier. But we want Vanessa and everyone else calling Where's My Ride to also enjoy a positive, pleasant, fast, and effective experience when calling Where's My Ride, as you're reporting you're starting to see with reservations. So we don't want to upset the reservations apple cart just yet, but yes, we're going to be doing some things that keep that going positively while putting more resources into the Where's My Ride side as well.
Mr. Blake, this is Ms. Rush. I finally got unmuted. There are two concerns. Yes, Where's My Ride? They can't find the ride, or somebody, well, I'm getting all kind of calls that what you've already talked trips, but a person supposed to be picked up at 6:45 and they're not picked up to 7:45, 8:45. It's upsetting. You know, I can't help them, but where's my ride? Can't help them either. But, you know, with it getting darker earlier, people want to be picked up. They don't want to be picked up two hours late. And I don't know what to tell them. It's not good. But another concern, some of the streets in Maryland, Montgomery County, have the same names. And I don't know what Metro Access is going to do about that. But we need to flag the streets that have the same name.
Okay, so let me ask you a couple of things. One thing you can do, and I know you're doing it because if we had an affiliate program, well, you would be getting paid a lot of money because a lot of people tell me they get my name and number from you. So I want you to continue to do that because as they call me, especially if they call me when it's happening right at that moment, because if they call you and the trip is an hour late, which it shouldn't be, even late trips shouldn't be an hour late, especially or 2 hours late. But I know it has happened. There's not a lot you can do. You're right. But there's probably something I can do. So you need to give them my number right at that moment and let me try to get involved in the situation to bring
the rest. I give them your number and I dial it also. But, you know, you can't. You are one person. You're not 20 people.
I agree. And it becomes unsustainable after a while. That's why the answer is to get us back to our normal ways. So we're working on that. So that's one thing. A lot of the issues that you were referring to is a result of late pickups. And I don't want to sound like a broken record, but that's why we're going back to the geographic balance and we're adding more vendors, kind of bring it all, you know, spread all the work around to make things a lot better. That's our goal. Once we get those numbers back up to where they used to be, a lot of the complaints you're referring to, they tend to go away at that point. But keep giving them my number.
But also, you should not be the only person. I mean, is there a way you can delegate?
Ms. Rush.
What you do, because you are just you. You can't help 20 people who have 20 rides. Like, yeah. Somebody else has to be responsible.
But that's what the call center is for. But again, if you're telling me that the people who are calling you are having trouble with whatever related to the call center, if you call me, I can then help the call center help that person. I won't be the one moving the trip, mostly, but I won't be the one doing that. But sometimes management just needs to provide the encouraging or guiding word to the dispatcher who may or may not understand the power that's in their hands to quickly resolve a situation. So again, during those 5 years when we never went under 90%, not even 1 month, and I repeat that because I'm so proud of it because that wasn't the case anywhere else in the country. I didn't have to go through a lot of what you're saying or you believe I'm going through right now. Once we get the on-time performance back up, my life will be back to normal, easy, relaxed, and I could take that one or two call from your friends or your constituents and we can resolve it. Right now, though, we're having a little problem. We're fixing it as quickly as possible. So I need to be involved in order to try to help facilitate the situations and the resolution to the situations that are arising. Once we get past this, won't be a problem. So let's not use that as a say not to call me. They need to call me because that's the only way we can get quick resolution to the issue. And that's what we're trying to do.
One last question to ask is, I know with Uber and you wanted to get a feel of the staff, I mean, not staff, but the AAC members is, when y'all send out the text for the lottery, I know sometimes it's a slam on them and they do the best they can in responding. And I know we're hopefully coming at some point with some automation with that, and hopefully minimize mistakes with trips sent out and things like that. How far are we coming along with that? Or that's with the last topic on the agenda. We're probably going to hear more about with Tim.
Well, that was going to be part of Tim, but to this point, because yes, we do send out, but this is related because the lottery is what's run at night, technically. That's run at night and trips are selected. The text messages are an additional kind of just wide open lottery. It's not run necessarily by the computer. That's just saying, here are some trips, here are some customers. Customers, would you like your trip today on to be on Uber? And then they respond via text message, and then a human agent inputs that. And yes, we want to try to automate that part of the process. Now, one of the things you're bringing up a good point. If we send out a text message for trips in the 5 o'clock hour at 4 a.m., as customers are waking up or probably already up to get ready for their trip, they're responding, and the human agents are getting, a whole bunch of text messages they need to respond to. And being quick, a human being, even myself, can make a mistake with the address. I want to go back because Ms. Rush, that just reminded me. Ms. Rush brought up a good point. But here's my question to you, Mr. Chairman, and to the committee members, especially those who are representing the community of people with low vision or no vision. One of the things we can do is after we run the lottery at night and say, hey, we have a few more trips we wouldn't mind moving, but a customer needs to tell us they would like their trip moved. My question is, if we send a text message out the night before or even early in the morning, I know I could ignore text messages, but do people with visual disabilities who rely on the screen reader to read things to them, how do overnight text messages impact their sleep? How does it impact their way of life? Do they want to be bothered in the middle of the night for a trip tomorrow or 10, 11, 1, 2, 3 in the morning getting a text message? They're able to ignore the text until they wake up and then start their day. We've been very sensitive not to send text messages for trips hours on out because primarily, especially early in the mornings, we don't want to disturb people, particularly those who use screen readers. What do you and the committee think about the idea of, overnight or very, very early in the morning text messages offering Uber that you don't have to respond to until later, but will such text messages begin to feel like spam and annoying, or would you rather us just keep the 1 hour, 2 hour ahead of time approach?
Well, the only reason I say further in advance, like in the morning, is only because when it's done, like during peak times, like at 7:30 in the morning, and then they probably are not responding to it because it just piles up, possibly because they're responding to calls. It's peak hour. People are trying to get to those phones, and you don't hear from it, and you're saying, oh, my trip's going to be moved, but it's not until an hour or two later during those peak times. It's like a slam on them, and then trying to get over it, and then you have the mistakes. If it started at 4 in the morning, what I've noticed, it's responded to much faster because they're only getting trickle of people in throughout the day, and then the links are more accurate and that type of thing.
So
But
if I, if you
that's
don't
what
mind.
it. But I want to hear from committee members who might be visually impaired.
Right. So yeah, let me set up a scenario because it involved you. So Saturday morning, I think you sent me a text message about 7 in the morning. And that was fine. I mean, I respond. I'm just teasing with you. But you received one of our text messages. You responded to it, but for like 30 or 40 minutes, you didn't hear anything from them. I wrote them back and said, hey, the chairman has responded. And that's in fact what it was. They were just so busy with customers who were responding. They were trying to get to it, plus a few phone calls. So you received your text message, I believe, 7 a.m. on Saturday.
Yeah, it
You
was
didn't hear about
7:41, and then I wrote a text at 8:30. I'm still waiting.
So now to the committee members, instead of sending that text, 30 or 40 minutes before that, How would members of the committee or just customers in general feel if that text message came at 2 in the morning? You don't have to respond to it, obviously, until you wake up and you're ready to travel. But would a text message from Metro Access at 2 in the morning, 1 in the morning, 11:30 at night be annoying to you?
No, because we turn our phones off if we don't want to be disturbed.
That's exactly what I was going to say.
Okay, Vanessa, go ahead.
Alert. Audio now unmuted.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can.
I'm a night owl, so I hear them all the time. I mean, I like them early in the morning because in the evenings I get them sometimes at 3, and they send them too soon, and I've changed my direction. So they're sending me links for trips that I've canceled. And so now I have all these links. So the early one, you know, they need to give it time for the reservations to shut down at 4:30 before they send out the links, because there could be some changes made between, because I've gotten my links as early as 3:30. So the early morning ones is probably best.
All right. Let's go with Pat. I haven't heard from you, and probably Philip with Philippa. Pat?
Farmer.
Okay. Patrick?
I saw your hand up, Patrick.
Yes, he had.
Are you there, Patrick? I guess we'll go with Philippa next,
Hi.
And then we talk about
the. Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, I like a little advance warning, because just in case there's something wrong with the address, as a couple of places I go, they don't get the address quite right, and I'm not sure why. But then I can call. I have time to call and get it straightened out. So late night, early morning is fine with me.
Okay. So on the advice and consent of the AAC, we're going to try a different approach, Mr. Chairman. What we may do is just find that secondary lottery and send them all out very late at night or very early in the morning. And as two of the members say, hey, if you're used to already shutting things down so you're not disturbed, that's good to know. That's good to understand and learn. And so we'll try a different approach to, again, try to make your experience better, and also at the same time provide some relief to the dispatchers so they can do a better and more accurate job on your behalf. We'll try it out.
Because one effect with the slam on them is then they, because I can see from the app here, they move them to Uber, but they only send me like that first or second link in the morning, and then they say call when ready is what they text me back. And the problem with that is, then if you're telling that to me and other customers, that's when you're going to have the slam on the phones with everyone calling in to ask for an Uber that's already been moved.
Chair 74, this is
right there with you.
Go ahead, Mr. Blake.
Oh, no, I was just agreeing with him. Sorry.
Yeah.
Okay. I believe Tuan Farmer was trying to make
a comment. Tuan.
Tuan, go ahead.
Okay. Paul, you can hear me?
Yep, I can hear you.
Okay, great. I'm pretty much on board with the idea that, yeah, sure, middle of the night sounds like a crazy time to go receiving messages and whatnot. But I take an approach of, for me, I'm an adult. If I don't want to receive text, I put my phone goes right into do not disturb at a certain time during the week. If, because there's always that one possibility that if before 7 o'clock, when my phone opens up on its own, or I'm, you know, I look at it through the night, there is always that chance that that early trip could be on Metro Access. And if that gets changed, yeah, I need to have situational awareness. If it's a 7 o'clock trip, 7:15 a.m. trip, I got to get up about 5-ish to check the system. Semi-unrelated, that app is phenomenal, and it is a game changer. I know that's not related. So when we get there, That's a related issue. But I think the more information people have, the more awareness you can have about what's coming up in your daily activities, whether that is a change from Uber per your request, because of an opportunity to get onto an Uber trip or other forms of abilities ride. I think the more information you have, the better.
Okay.
Excellent.
All right. So let us, because we are behind, we got two other big topics, and we definitely want to start customer empowerment period. Now, Mr. Blake, with the next one about abilities right up there, I'm presuming it'll be brief so we can go into Tim, because I see a lot of public customers' hands. We definitely want to start public comment on time, if not a little bit earlier.
There's really not much more update. We still have the same providers that we've talked about these last several months. They're doing a lot of work, again, more than 50% of the daily demand. We don't have any reason to slow that down, but we do protect the safety net. So it's not just about cost, as we talked about earlier. Tomorrow, we're adding 8 more wheelchair accessible vehicles to that non-dedicated side of the fleet and just continue to grow the program and hopefully keep it very satisfying for those who can and want to use it while making sure Metro Access gets back to that level of quality service for those who absolutely need that door-to-door of Metro Access familiarity.
All right. If there's no questions as it relates to that, I would like to go with Tim because I see a whole lot of customers' hands, so I want to start customer comment period. So, Ms. Williams Hall, you want to go ahead?
So, good afternoon, sir. I think in our last meeting, I gave quite a detailed overview of where we're going with things. So, I don't have a whole lot of new information to share, but I am open to answering any questions. Our primary focus right now is finding a creative way to utilize Tim to answer more of the Where's My Call rides. So, it's just a matter of acclimating the end users with the product, getting them comfortable with trying it because it's very accurate. It's much faster, zero hold time. You get in, you get the information, and you get your response. So we're just looking at ways to utilize that right now in the immediate future. Mr. Blake talked earlier about some of the back office things that we're going to do to help facilitate the DSAs and support them with the Uber and other non-dedicated ride services. So those things are to come also.
And when can committee members maybe start testing some of that before it goes out to the public or
Well,
let
so I'm
Uber
sorry,
or
go ahead,
anything
Mr.
like that?
Blake.
Yeah, I just wanted to, because now I remember why this was also on the agenda. Pretty
Okay.
soon, we're going to be launching a web page that outlines for customers how to use TIM. Because we think, as Ms. Williams all says, there are a lot of calls that really can be handled by the digital assistant, but what we're not going to do is force people to use it. But we will be setting up a web page in an effort to encourage more and more customers to try it at least once, because we believe if they try it one time, they won't use it for everything because it's not designed that way. But I think it will be utilized for a lot more than it's being used right now. And that's just our goal, is to spread the work out. So there will be a web page that we're going to share with you as a committee and then launch publicly shortly there.
All right, Miss Williams Hall.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to add that those features are available and have been for quite some time. Just that we change the way the customer reaches them. You may recall when we rolled this out, after a call waited for so many minutes, then it automatically went over to the thinking machine. You know, based on customer feedback, we made the decision not to do that. So now the customer just has to select to speak to the thinking machine. So if they make that selection, that functionality with regard to Where's My Ride is already available. We take over to just under 200 calls a day on Where's My Ride, but could do so much more.
All right.
Chair 74,
Yes.
I see Vanessa has raised her hand. Vanessa, do you have a question regarding this current topic?
I do. Mr. Blake, when you say you're going to use the website, and I was told that you have to
Hello.
have
Time
access
I
to the
think. Hello.
website. So are the people going to have to call in to get access to the website? I mean,
It's nice to know we can go to the website, but do you have to have special access to get it? Because I don't use it. Can you hear
Mr.
me?
Blake, we can't hear you. You're on mute.
The website I was referring to is just a page on the WMATA.com website
All that
so
okay.
that it provides directions and other, for lack of a better word, marketing information about the tool itself. It's not that you have to use the website to use TIM. We're setting up a website to give customers instructions that they can continuously refer to and get to the point where they're comfortable with trying it out.
All right. If there's no other committee members, Anu, as it relates to this topic,
Alert. Hands now lowered.
one last thing I will ask Mr. Blake
Screen.
just
Recharging.
now I know we've been kind of experimenting with my transit manager. Is there any possible date when it might be released? The only other thing in experimenting with it, with the app, is right now, and maybe and I've used it with another paratransit that maybe y'all can resolve, that I see as a issue that needs to be resolved, is when you have trips overnight, let's define it, trips between midnight and 3 a.m. that's part of that same day. Say, for instance, I have a trip from Union Station going to home. That's at 12:30 a.m. I can see the trip on my transit app all the way up until midnight. Even though, but after that, when before that window opens for those trips during that time period, I can't see it anymore because after midnight becomes the next day, even though there's still maybe a trip or two still going on in that window of time, late night between that and 3 a.m. Is there a way to keep it on, so that you can see it until at least the end of the trip? Because right now, that's the only thing I see as a disadvantage. So it's after midnight, the trip is at 12:30. After 12 midnight, I don't see the trip anymore, because it's a new day. Because it goes in and look, and you're only able to see the trips going forward for that new day. Does that make sense?
Makes total sense. We have the same challenge when it comes to the Uber Central and your links, or not your personally, but any customer's links for trips that are very late in the day. I will talk to Transdev and the computer team about that. This is one of those, for every good deed, you may have some things unexpected. Again, Metro Access being one of the few paratransit providers that literally works 24/7. These are some things we never in other agencies have to think about or even consider because service is already shut down long before 12 a.m. But if we're going to be a 24-hour service, we need to figure out how do we put these tools out and allow them to be effective throughout that whole clock. So I will ask the Transdev team about that and what can be done, what possibly can be worked out in regards to that. It's been a while. We've been still trying to do it on the Uber side. It is a challenge, but we're
Well, with
working on
the
it.
Uber side, I will say, because for one who does have those in-between trips that are put on Uber from time to time, they are able to schedule it for the next day and send me the link, but most of them automatically send it where it's not used to me after midnight because the link will expire. They send the same day, and then I have to ask. I know you know how to do it, because you've done it before, or they would do schedule the trip for, like, if it starts at 1:15 a.m. for the next day, just to start the Uber instead of sending the link and do that workaround. But what's mostly happening, I have to tell them, remember, it's a trip after midnight. Giving me one that expires at 11:59 does not work for me, but I know that still needs to be kind of figured out.
We're working on it, and I won't say, I won't even say it's training with the team because there's a certain member of the team of your committee who I make the same mistake, and not even midnight. It's just they'll say, don't forget this trip, and I'll book it for today instead of tomorrow. And we're working on it. We're
Okay.
working on it.
All right. So having here that, and I see so many hands anew, and you're gonna help me manage public comments, give your spiel, and we're gonna start public comment at 5:15. to make sure with all customers of the public first before any AAC members.
Yes, thank you, Chair Summerford. So I just want to remind everyone that we are beginning our public comment section. Every speaker will have 2 minutes. We are practicing this to make sure that every individual who's trying to make comments has an opportunity to do so. If you are on phone, you can unmute yourself by pressing *9. We have 6 people on the list so far. Any additional members who would like to make comments, if you are able to send me a chat message, please do, and I'll add your name to the list. Or you can raise your virtual hands. If you're on phones, you can press *9. If you're on video conference, you can click on the raise hand icon. I will add names in the order received. Everybody will have 2 minutes. Just like I said, when you start speaking, the timer will begin. So the first person is Don Barrett. He had sent an email to us informing that he would like to make comments. So Mr. Barrett, if you are still connected, and I just saw him on the meeting, if you would unmute yourself, and when you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin. And I am first calling upon Don Barrett. The second person will be Pamela White. And the third person will be Denise. I'm sharing these names in advance so that people are aware and they are ready to speak. Okay. I see Don Barrett connected. I'm not sure if he's having difficulty unmuting himself. I have asked Mr. Barrett for you to unmute yourself. What we can do is we can go to Pamela White. And Mr. Barrett, if you're able to unmute yourself in the meanwhile, we can come back to you. So Pamela White, go ahead and unmute yourself. And when you start speaking, your 2 minutes will begin.
Hello, my name is Pamela White. I'm a middle-aged Black woman, wear glasses, blonde hair. So, the reason why I'm on here to make this comment, pretty much you, Mr. Blake, said everything that I was going to talk about, and I just want to say thank Ms. Rush on November the 8th. She gave me Mr. Blake's number, and I didn't think I was going to get home that day. I had been waiting for 2 hours for Metro Access. But seemed like you are, I think it's all because of this new company and the drivers are saying that their hours are getting cut back. And after the company started, I seen, you know, all these late trips and, you know, all these people on the van at the same time going all over the place. But I think you all are, you know, on top of that with what I've been hearing today. And also, I would like to know, when you call Where's My Ride, and they ask you, can I get an Uber? Or if I ask you, can I speak to a supervisor? I mean, I ask about an Uber, they got to give me a supervisor. Mm-hmm. Why can't they have the authority to give me a Uber or cancel my trip? Or, you know, why does that person have to be transferred to another person before some things are, you know, that have to be get done?
Stuff like that.
Right, that's a great question. And that has been a recommendation of the OCC contractor. Like a lot of things, certain privileges are generally safe for a handful of people who are properly trained and vetted for certain roles. But we are expanding the number of people who will and currently have access to Uber Central, which is the tool that is used to book your trips for Uber on behalf of Metro Access. So we are expanding those numbers, but before we expand it any further, we're still trying to first bring in some automation. There are parts of this that can be automated. And the more we can automate that aspect of it, the more those human agents who are truly trained and ready to roll with the Uber Central They'll be available for you and other customers, but we have certainly grown the number of people who have access to Uber Central. And once we get the, again, Metro Access back to the normal that you all were used to and saw that we could do, I think some of the pressure that you're seeing and the frustration I know I hear from you and others will begin to decline because there won't be as great a need for transfers to Uber or other things on the live day.
This
Thank
is
you.
Don. When you can take me if you can, I'm unmuted.
Wait a minute, my time might be up, but I just want to the Uber I prefer not to, but because some of the drivers they drive too fast. That's all I have to say about that.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Next
Thank
person,
you.
I guess we'll
Mr. Barrett has
yes.
unmuted himself.
All right.
Mr. Barrett, go ahead.
So I'll be quick and please don't let me go over my time, but I just want to make a couple quick question about abilities ride, please. Got a new phone, called eligibility, gave them my new phone number. Everything seemed to work out. I don't even get links anymore. I mean, none. I've set up numerous rides and I get no links, so I call in, and then if they do send me links, most of the time they don't work. Is there any technical support that can help me straighten this out so I can at least get the links to begin with? I just not sure how to proceed with this, and I think other people I know are experiencing similar problems. But I got to say, we love Abilities Ride, and the Where's My Ride folks have saved the day numerous times calling them and getting them to summon the rides. But it would be just faster and quicker if I could do it myself with getting these links that work. Thanks.
Yes, sir. Now, if this is Mr. Barrett with a 3-digit ID number. I probably have the old number, so if you can please call me tomorrow or send me a text with your new number, I will make sure that the lottery system updates your phone number so that when your trips are selected, it go to the right number. They're probably still going to the old number.
Okay. Maybe I can talk to Pat or somebody to get your contact information. I know you don't want to give it out now, but I will read.
Oh,
Oh no, he's very public about
absolutely.
it.
You can call or you can text me at 202
Yes.
281
281.
8984.
I will do it, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take care of that.
Next person,
Denise.
Anu.
Next person is Denise, followed by a sister, Wilma Smith. And then Janice Samuel. So Denise, you are off of mute and go ahead and start making your comments.
Good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, hi. So I just want to say I actually really appreciate this service. I'm a long-time rider. I've been riding since 2007. So I've experienced all the ins and outs and everything. And I've had talked to Mr. Blake recently. And so I really appreciate your help, Mr. Blake. But it has been extremely frustrating with this new service. There, I've had so many late trips. I thought we had late trips before. Like it's just been crazy. And I know they are working on it. Mr. Blake has been helpful, but it's frustrating because sometimes you're there and then you call, your trip is already late, and then you call, and sometimes you have to hold on the phone so long to get anybody, and all this time is going by and it's getting later and later and later. And so it definitely has been extremely frustrating. I really do like the Abilities Ride service, so I would like to utilize that more if it's possible, because then you don't have to worry about so much being late as much and riding all over the place. Because when you're already late being picked up, and then you got to ride somewhere else late, like, and then sometimes they take you way out of your way. Like, it's just they have to do better with managing trips. I've been told several times by drivers when they get my trips. When they're late, they were in the middle of their break, the beginning of their break, or at the end of their break, or they're coming from way across town. And we understand it's a shared service, but we have to do better, people. Like we already have physical, mental disability, whatever we're going through, and it's getting darker outside now later. And so it actually becomes frustrating. I was with someone at NRH last week. There were four of us there, all four of our rides were late. One lady trip was from 7:15 to 7:45. She did not get picked up till 9:30, and I felt so bad for her. And this has been a continuous thing. And you call in, and sometimes you feel like you have no recourse. You just have to sit there and wait. I'm a female, and there's other females. And when you're out here and it's late and it's dark, like, it's very frustrating. And we do get it's not a perfect service, but we can do better. We can definitely do better.
All right. You want to take that one, Mr. Blake?
We would have no disagreement with Miss Denise on that. She does have my number. She calls, and we've been working on her trips in particular. We've been communicating, but we've got to fix it for everybody. And again, we're doing everything we can right now. But by December 1st, we'll have another provider involved. We'll be operating out of Montgomery County like we were in the past. And I'm working on bringing another provider in to operate out of Washington, D.C. We're going to get back to normal so that Denise and other customers can be very happy as they used to be.
Do I have any time left? I just want to say one more thing. Is there any way to have more people on the phone service? And by the way, Mr. Blake, I told you, like, I am looking for a job in customer service. So if y'all need some help, I am more than willing to work. So
I thought I gave them your number, but this is what I'll do. I'll make sure tomorrow morning I'll absolutely give them your number again. And maybe because I'll just be honest, Miss Denise, I'm thinking when we talked, I gave them your number. But when you called me that day, I was outside helping somebody into an Uber. I probably forgot. It's been extremely.
Yeah, I definitely got any information.
If you could imagine. But I'll give them your number tomorrow. But as I pointed out, yes, the OCC is hiring a lot of people, and they're doing better training right now. So some of that effort is starting to pay the fruition. The manager, in fact, says, send me the number now before you forget. Okay, I'll do that. But they're hiring a lot of people. They're bringing on a lot of resources. So that part of things are slowly improving, and we want to see more of that. But the late trips, we've got to bring them to an end. And I'm working to do that as quickly as possible, Denise. So you can feel free to stop calling me once we get there. But as long as your trips are late, call me, because that's my commitment to getting this thing right.
I appreciate it, but I'm never going to stop calling, even if it's good things.
All right. Thank you so much for your comments and insight. Next, Anu.
Next is Sister Wilma Smith, followed by Janice Samuel, and then Deborah. So go ahead and start making your comments, Sister Wilma Smith.
Thank you very much. And it's identified that way. My name is because for my meetings at the Kingdom Hall every week. But thank you all so much for the wonderful job that you're doing. This is such a wonderful, informative, encouraging meeting. I have two concerns. And thank you, Mr. Blake, for your number, because I've been wanting it for a long time, because a lot has been happening. But everybody has said everything that, you know, I've been having concerns about. One of the things is military bases. Getting there is no problem. Getting back is the issue. October 16th, and I ask you to please look into that. I've had quality assurance to call me three times when I'm not here, left a message that he got the information from the complaint line, but he doesn't call back to tell me the result. October 16th, had a pickup between 3 and 3:30, wasn't picked up until close to 7 o'clock, and I had a PCA with me. That was very hurtful. But anyway, I always say that things always balances out, you know, because I get the Uber and the Lyft, and that's a blessing. So my concern, that's one of my concerns, is getting from the military base, and I'm kind of like getting some flack from some of the operators about it's a favor that they're doing me by getting me to the military base, but that's not a good feeling. So I'm ask you if you would address that issue. But if you could also look into October 16th, where no one called me back and told me the result of that trip, because I had some food, ice cream and stuff that melted while I was waiting for 3 hours. And so it seems like when I'm coming back from the military base is when I'm having my greatest issue of getting a ride on time. So those are the concerns that's my major concern. The military base. Yes. And I don't have a problem with waiting, but waiting that long, you know, it kind of concerns me.
Right. No, and we'll get somebody to follow. We'll follow up tomorrow for sure. Can I just talk in general, real quick, about military bases? And the operator shouldn't, absolutely is not doing you a favor. We don't want to take that approach. But the military bases do propose a challenge. Whereas another place I've worked, we may have one or two, and you could kind of work around it. There are so many, and not just military bases, we call them access control locations, and rightfully so, in this particular region. Any location where you don't see Metro bus or Metro rail, theoretically, beyond the visitor center, there is no metro access. But obviously, we're providing service to those facilities, and we're going to continue to do our very best. And it creates a situation where the ADA says you're not supposed to prioritize trips based on trip purpose or location or destination. We can't really prioritize, but what we will try to do within the scope of a shared ride public transportation service is identify some routes that may serve those a little more than just a random selection of the trips. Because going to a military base, the first thing we have to do is make sure nobody's on the vehicle. So now we have to make sure we drop everybody off, or worse, just don't schedule anybody for an hour or two before they pick you up. And now that's a van that's not picking up other customers who need to go to dialysis and all those other places we talk about. So it is a challenge. We're not doing you a favor, so they shouldn't come across that, but it's really a step outside of public transportation. We're committed to serving the bases because it's part of this community. It is a challenge. We're trying to figure out the best way, and we've been working at it. When we keep that shared ride service number that I was speaking to Ms. Bush about earlier very low, it helps because then there is nobody on the vehicle, and generally speaking, the drivers can get on the vehicle. When we're in a situation where there is a lot of late trips and we're trying to get everybody on the vehicles and that shared ride inches up a bit and there are two or three people on a van, now we've got, and that van has your name on it coming up. We now have to figure out a way to get all those folks off the vans to their drop-offs, wherever they may be, and then come back to the base to get you. Could be delays. I'm not trying to make excuses. I'm just trying to point out the challenge. So this is not unique to your trips, believe me, but 3 hours is certainly not called for. So we got to talk about your ice cream. So you may want to give me a call and we could talk about that. But it's a challenge. We're certainly working to face the challenge. We tried to face the challenge by keeping shared rides low, but when you're in a shared ride, fixed ride equivalent service, and we're having to have more people on the vehicles at the same time in an effort to try to help the on-time performance. It just creates a downhill, from a, it just creates a lot of other challenges. We're working on it. Give me a call. Let me see what we could do in particular of your particular base. Let me see other customers we've had, may or may not have had some challenges at your base. Maybe pull those trips a little better. But give me a call. We'll talk about that and we'll talk about your ice cream.
Mr. Blake, let me just say in closing, you are, and I said this before, you are really wonderful. Thank you for
Oh.
taking the time to explain that. I'm always amazed at you. Keep doing what you're doing. You're doing a fine job.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you, ma'am.
Oh my goodness.
Thank you for your kind contributions and comments. Anu?
Yes, sir. So next we have is Janice Samuel and then Deborah. So Janice, go ahead.
Thank you. Two things real quick, Mr. Blake, in response to your inquiry about non-business hour text messages. I agree with the other committee members. If someone doesn't want to get text messages in off business hours, they will either turn off their phone or, put it on do not disturb. I don't mind personally getting them in non-business hours because I want to have the peace of mind to know that I have the link and that it's correct. So I'm a personality type. So, okay.
Thank you.
Then My question is, recent newscasts are reporting that the incoming Trump administration is going to require federal workers to come back into the office. So that is going to increase ridership in the metro system and, of course, metro access. So I wanted to know what, if any, steps are you going to take other than what you've outlined earlier? To accommodate the increased ridership.
Yes. So, in addition to that's a great point, thank you for the point about the text message. We're definitely going to try it, and let's see if that helps things out. Increased ridership. We have been waiting and waiting for federal employees to return. We've kind of built a forecasted ridership under the assumption of a smaller return, but not necessarily. Everybody's sort of back to November 2019, October 2019 levels. If that does become the case, though, what we're going to do, what do we do when there's more ridership? We have to put out more service. And our leadership has been a wonderful example of preparing additional service even in advance of demand and letting the demand grow in. And you see the ridership on Metro Rail and Metro Bus. These are at record levels. So the, and I know there were probably some people who were scratching their head when the general manager was saying, put more service out there, but he's proven to be correct. And it's going to be the same thing on Metro Access. It's going to be up to me and my team to demonstrate to our colleagues and our bosses and the leadership of the extra demand, how much is it? And how do we utilize the resources effectively to address it? But the primary way we're going to deal with it is there'll be more vans on the street, more sedans on the street. And yes, if the abilities ride providers say they could do more trips, we'll put more trips on those third party services as well.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, next is Deborah. Deborah, go ahead.
Okay, this is really quick. Just going back to that. Sorry, going back to that question about the Uber calls in the middle, like giving the notifications a day ahead to people who are sight impaired. I'm talking on behalf of a friend of mine. He didn't get back to me through, like, I texted him the question, but I know he's on NE24, meaning he doesn't have a specific sleep schedule. And if he didn't want to get a message, he would probably turn it off. But when, and actually, I'm talking about my friend Ian Dylan Paywanski, Mr. Blake. And I think he'd rather know what's going on than kind of not know and kind of be, in that gray area of unsure of like in terms of I know that on occasion he has had to have people give him rides back from a couple places he plays music and listens to music. He's I'm speaking on behalf because if he's got a gig and he plays drums and he plays keyboards, he does have help from people. He's been blind since he was two, so he's very, very functional. But at the same time, it really leaves him at a bad spot when the club is closed, it's after 12:30 or 1, and he's not able to communicate or he's on hold for such a long time. And Mr. Blake, I know he wouldn't want to call you at 1 in the morning. So, at times he'll get a call, like people will help him and give him a ride home if it really goes wrong. But at the same time, remember these businesses close and he's sitting there worried that he's going to by accident take an owner of a business hostage by, and it really does get to him. I mean, even one time down at the Hamilton on 14th and F, we were having problems. It was, of course, about midnight, and things seemed to be, I mean, he gets a lot of anxiety. So, you know, what happens is he gets frustrated. Like when I'm trying to help him sometimes. So, I mean, I'm just, you know, throwing that out. I just wanted to mention that. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your feedback.
Okay, Chair Samuelford, this is Anu. At this point, we do not have any additional members of the public with their hands up. And we do have two AAC members with their hands up.
Sure, we'll take their comments.
Okay. As part of the comments. First will be Ms. Rush, Vice Chair Rush, and then Vanessa Coles. So Ms. Rush, go ahead and unmute yourself, please.
This is Ms. Rush. Mr. Blake, where are our vehicles? The year is ended, and where are our new purchase vehicles? When are they going to be where we can see how we're going to be strapped in?
There's still...
I guess you're referring to working. Generation vans.
Rush is referring to the next generation van, which is our new multi-wheelchair passenger van that also has additional seating for up to four people. We showed you the initial demonstration. The mock-up is just about ready. I think it's in Virginia, but it's not at a metro facility yet. It's still with the contractor. As soon as everything is checked out and it's a go, we will schedule another demonstration. And this one will be the full demonstration, including the strap-in and everything else. But I think it's in Virginia. Somebody just texted. I think it's in Virginia, but it's not with us just yet.
Well, Mr. Blake, it's been a whole year. You know, I'm watching you.
Nah, I got you, but, you know, I always tell you, the first job I had in politics, I always say slow and right versus fast and wrong. And we just want to make sure, because this vehicle is very, very important to the future of the Metro Access safety net. We had to make sure it can fit two wheelchair customers as well as others, and not rely on a cutaway and a lift that can create other challenges. So we're being slow, but I assure you, I assure you, I think you all are going to get to see the mocked up, the finished product of the next generation before the end of this calendar year.
Okay, thank you.
Alert. Audio now unmuted. Leaving.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
Yes, hi, this is Vanessa. My question is for eligibility. I'm speaking on behalf of a consumer. They were given two extensions on renewing, and they failed to renew in time, and so they were told they couldn't use the system again. They were having problems with the faxing and different types of problems, so I recommended an appeal process, but what is the proper recommendation to try to get them back, because they definitely need the system?
Just ask them to call or text me their ID number, and we can grant them an extension. And this is not special for Ms. Coles or friends of Ms. Coles. We've been granting extensions to everyone literally who've asked or have expressed challenges or forgetting that their eligibility is about to expire. So you send me the names, I'll ask the eligibility team to grant a short-term extension to give them time to get a new application submitted to Metro.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Chair Samuelford, this is Anu. And with that, we do not have any more hands up for public comments. Pamela just raised her hand.
Go right ahead, Pamela.
I'm raising my real hand.
Okay.
I, w-
I would like to know when can you change the times for people to call in to cancel their ride instead of 2 hours, make it 1 hour before their time to be picked up? I mean, that's something you can talk about or work on because. 2 hours. I mean, I might wake up and I'm not feeling well, and it might be an hour before my ride, and then they penalize me. I got a letter a couple last month about cancellations at the door or late cancellations, and a lot of the cancellations at the door because or calling in late because I'm tired of waiting for the Metro access, and then I call. But other than that. Like I wake up sick or something, and it's like an hour before my ride is coming, then they want to penalize me because I didn't call in time. And you wake up, you don't know if you're gonna have emergency, you're gonna be sick. So,
So I hear you loud and clear. Here's how I would respond to that. Number one, I could be wrong. So if anybody's had the experience, I'm sure it was overturned really quickly. But I would tell you that since I would say probably for the last 5 years, we probably suspended zero people for no-show late cancellations. We do send you the warning letters. We send the suspension letters. You call Mr. Millis. I mean, if we're talking get politics, but you're talking about liberal. We've been extremely, extremely liberal when it comes to that. We send the letters to say, hey, remember, this is a public service. You do have a responsibility as a customer. But because of the success we've been able to achieve on Metro Access over these last 5 years, there's been no need for us to suspend customers, but we want you to know that we don't want anybody to abuse it either. So I would not say let's change it from 1 hour to 2 hours. Just know that no one is truly losing their service on Metro Access unless they engage in some form of abusive behavior. But late cancellations, no shows, nobody's losing their service because of that. And I definitely won't let them mess with your service.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next is Darnese Bush and then Philippa Mazzell. Darnese, go ahead.
I wanted to know if there's any way, like when you call in, well, the window is a half an hour. So sometimes you are fast approaching a dark corner or a place where you're going to be by yourself, and you may have like 10 to 5 minutes more to wait for your ride, and you call in, and they'll say, well, yeah, it's going to be on time. And then as that time goes by and it's late, and they don't show up then, and then you call back, and they say, oh, I see that they're going to be 15 minutes late or 20 minutes late. Is there any way to avoid that so that when you do call in, they can give you an estimated time of when your people will be coming or if they're going to be late, especially if you call at least like 20 minutes into the window or something? Like,
Well, 20
say
minutes into the
a pickup
window.
is,
20 minutes into the window, we should definitely know. I will tell you this, it's like if you ever been in traffic, the other day I was rushing to get to a party at the casino. Just kidding. Supposed to be there at 6 o'clock. Says it'll get there, you'll get there at 5:55. Get on the highway, all of a sudden it went to 5:57, then 5:59. Finally get there about 6:05. My point is, we're utilizing estimates from the vehicle. They're sending a signal from the vehicle, and the agents are giving you an estimate, or if you're looking at the app, it gives you an estimate as to when the vehicle is supposed to be there. Things do happen. Accident happens in front of the vehicle, accident or a protest, or things can happen. We want to be accurate. Don't get me wrong on that. We absolutely will be as accurate as possible. Sometimes that's not possible. And here, and what you're probably experiencing, what you're talking about, though, once you is looking to be late, then system or a human in your trip to other vehicles, and it just gets kind of crazy. So our goal is to provide the most accurate estimates of the pickup, barring anything beyond our control. So can I promise you that every time you get an estimate, it's going to be accurate? No, I mean, but I could
I know
promise you
it's
that it
not.
is accurate at, oh, yeah, it's going to be accurate at that moment in time.
But okay, on
But
many
give me the
occasions, I would
possibility.
say 2 out of 3 times when the driver actually comes, the driver has not been caught in traffic. The driver has been replaced with someone else, and someone else is taking that
That's what
trip
I'm
over,
saying.
and that's making them super late.
Yeah, and that's right.
Is it some kind of
And
way
that's my
to
point.
about the traffic?
No, I'm with you, Ms. Bush. That's my point. Once it's now late, well, how do we get Ms. Bush's trip back on time? Either the computer's going to try to move it, and the computer should be smarter than a human being because it has all the bells and whistles and can quickly find the best, but computers are only as good as who the person who made it. Sometimes the human tries to move it but didn't realize that the trip in front of you is going a different direction. Believe me, they're trying to do the right thing on your behalf, but sometimes the right thing is just leave it alone. But you can't tell them that because then they'll leave everything alone and never try to fix things. So believe me, I hear your frustration. I get that. We're trying to bring more.
Okay, and my other concern is that I mentioned it before earlier, the mileage, the number of miles, the distance between the pickups of the shared ride. I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, really ridiculous, because I live in Southeast and Ward 8. They take me all the way to Washington Hospital Center. And then pick up somebody else that's coming, that's going downtown to GW around the corner from where I'm going.
All right,
And
now
then
good
they
news, we still got
get
another person ahead of us.
for late. So that's that kind of stuff. I know you're working on it, but
Yeah, let's get to Philippa or anyone who has their hands up.
okay. Oh, okay. My question, someone mentioned renewal, so I'm going to ask the question I tend to ask every couple of years. Are you ever going to get to a point where you don't force people with conditions that will never change to keep going through that, having to go back to the doctor for renewal? It's particularly brutal if you have low vision. They put those drops in your eyes, they send you out blinded, they put all those bright lights in your eyes, all that just to tell you what you already knew anyway, that you're still legally blind. So I'm just trying to find out, is there ever going to be some kind of waiver for someone somewhere, if you have a condition that is never going to change, to not have to be forced to go back to a doctor, especially when you get tortured.
Yes, ma'am. So we're almost there with certain situations. I would put it that way, or certain conditions. We have something we call administrative recertifications. And if I'm not mistaken, that requires an application. It does require just a doctor's note, but I don't think the doctor would need to go through all the testing just to reconfirm that you have low vision or a person is blind. But we are at the point of administrative recertification for most of our customers. The number of people actually come to our building for recertification has significantly decreased. I mean, it's hardly anybody. So let me find out if an application that requires the doctor's version of a functional assessment is being requested for those administrative recertifications. I didn't think they were, but I'll check
So,
on
Mr.
it.
Blake,
Okay,
let me answer your question. For administrative certifications, even every 5 years, and if the eligibility person is here, it's still required that you still need to go to a doctor.
Right. And the
Yeah.
doctors
That's
want to
helpful.
do a full exam because they know that's how they get paid. They don't want to just give you a note.
Okay, I
Well,
got you.
the questions on the application still need to be answered, regardless.
Right. And I was under the impression, though, that a doctor, when you just, a doctor could just, you know, clarify that you, that a person, using the visual disability example, that a person is still blind and they don't need to go through all of these tests and exams just to say this person remains a person with a visual disability. But I hear your point. There's probably an economic piece to that.
Yes.
Let me talk to the team, but keep in
but
mind
the application and it's there and it's, you know, the questions that are have to be answered eligibility still have to be answered every 5 years.
Okay. What were you gonna say, Mr. Blake? I'm sorry, he cut you off.
Let me look at it, yes, because now keep in mind, we're talking in one case about visual disabilities. When you have a system like WMATA, I'm not as involved in that part of it anymore, but that's investing hundreds of thousands of dollars. In some cases, I mean, over the years, it's certainly been multi-millions of dollars in accessibility. If we just grant a no application recertification to people with visual disabilities, then we've got to be willing to do it for all sorts of other situations. And
well, not no application, just no examination.
Well, and well, so why? But it goes back to your point. The doctor won't fill it out if he or she doesn't get paid through an applicant.
So what I think she's talking about, like in New York City, there's a small category every 5 years for those who are continual eligibility, where the certain disabilities are thought are, you know, getting progressively worse, where every 5 years, all that person has to do is fill out the application and update demographics, but no medical note or information is required. They
there
have
you go.
For a few subset of customers where, you know, they already determined within several eligibilities every 5 years that this person is getting progressively worse. And on that 5 year marker, all they do is fill out a form, fax it back to eligibility, and everything's updated and you get a new ID.
But here's the key. You said they're getting progressively worse. Who's making that determination if it's
or
not there?
Just not getting any better. If you're already bad, what's the point? Getting worse, you're not going to get better.
Okay. So if it works, I mean, but here's the question. If we do it for folks with visual disabilities, what about
nobody else gets tortured? They don't do all that torture to them. If someone comes in and they're mobility impaired, they're not going to put them through a bunch of torturous tests with eye drops and blinding them and shining bright lights in their eyes and all that crap.
So here's what I would do. I would suggest, now I'm not trying to give a new more work and we haven't done this in a while, but maybe we'll have a subcommittee just for a couple of meetings, not for a year or two. I know for some of our past experiences where we can discuss this at length with the eligibility team and perhaps a medical professional or two who we can lean on if we're gonna in fact change a policy.
All right, thank you.
All right, with that, it is 5:57. I would like to get a motion of adjournment.
So moved.
No, but before that, Anu needs to give her a spiel.
Thank you, Chair Summerford. So I just want to remind any members of the public, if you are looking to make public comments, you can surely send us an email at metroaacchair@wmata.com, and that's spelled out metroaacchair@wmata.com, or call and leave a message at 202-962-1100. That concludes my announcement.
All right. All those in favor say motion adjourned, please do so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Happy Thanksgiving.
Aye.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving. Indigenous People's Day, everything.
And Felisa, how was that game last this week?